Appreciate your message on the radio this morning. Thought that was a real fitting message for the times, and I very much appreciated that. I do believe I'm going to try to start writing down some quotes that you have, though, because there's just some of them that stand out to me that that's quite a blessing. Probably a couple of months ago, I heard you mention one, and I wished I'd wrote it down. He said, it ain't convenient being dumb, or something along those lines. And I thought, what a great comment. I get that. That was really interesting. You could put a lot of thought into that. The one this morning that I took down and out, can't hang around the Spirit of the Lord. Got a lot out of that. He was talking about when Elijah was under that juniper tree and how God didn't grant what he had asked for, and that was just be taken out. God had a job for him. And as we're going to be studying through the book of Philippians, I think it lines up very close to where Paul was at in his writings to the church here at Philippi. And that we'll get into that in a bit maybe, but Paul talks about, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So whichever way that it may be is how Paul was looking at it. But I do believe he was leaning towards the going ahead. I'd just as soon as go ahead and be on with you, Lord, as to be here. But it would be the gain of the church there. So just a lot of parallel thoughts there with where you were at this morning to what I'd been reading here. So y'all feel free to jump in. We're just learning together. So we had made it through the 12th verse of the first chapter, book of Philippians. So we may pick up along about the 13th and maybe try to analyze these scriptures a little bit. Brother Josh and I was talking yesterday, and for so long, and not that I've done it for a long period of my life, but for so long I'd looked at especially the New Testament as just a supporting certain verses I would use to support my thoughts, and I never really got into the books and never really got into the letters. And then, like Brother Josh had talked about, maybe understanding the geographical location of where they were at, that the maybe where the writer was or where the church was at, and then maybe fully understanding that we don't need to just go in and pull out a verse and use that to support our other thoughts, but really dive into these and fully understand the entire letter and what it was all about, and maybe try to keep it more in context than what I'm guilty of trying to go in and pull some out and try to fit it somewhere else. But that's a good thought, brother, and I appreciate those conversations. Like some of the rest of you, I know we seem like be out and about. Brother Johnny, I went up there and he helped me fix a mess up I made a couple of weeks ago and finished doing an oil change that I just couldn't get up underneath the car to fix. And I was convinced I had my hand on the oil plug. It was just right here. It was all, I couldn't get a jack under it. I could just get my hand to it. And I thought, I'm going to get this oil changed one way or the other. And I pulled a transmission plug out of it. Sure did. Now here's where it really gets bad. The designers of these Ford Mustangs decided it wasn't such a good idea to be able to fill one up from the top. There's no way to put transmission fluid in one from the top. You got to manually pump that in. So here I sit. So Brother Johnny fixed me up, but got to go up there to that shop he talks about, spend a few hours, and in between oil changes, he'd come out, and it wasn't long, we'd be talking a little bit about the Lord, so that's pretty good. Passed by a barbecue joint one evening, going to grab some food. Heather and the kids had gone somewhere, and she said, hey, you better stop and get you something, there ain't nothing at home. I pull in, there sits Sister Sheila back there in the back room by herself. She is eating. I said, well, I know where I'm eating. So I sit down with her, and we we eat dinner, and it wasn't long. We talked a little bit about daily issues, but it wasn't long the Lord come up. So I don't know how that come about, but I'm really glad to be able to talk about the Lord in our daily business with y'all. Well, let's get into this, 1 and 13. So to dig into these passages a little bit, and I definitely appreciate y'all's thoughts and help us out with this. But so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Let's back up to the 12th. I want to put that in there. But I would, ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. So he said, whatever happens or what has happened, I want you to understand that if it affected my life for the negative, as long as it's for the furtherance of the gospel, that's all right. That's what he'd rather have happen. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. So that while I am in bonds in this palace, in what would have been Caesar's palace, I believe there in Rome, not in Las Vegas, but there in Rome, there in the palace where he would have been at. So that's where he was at, but he wants the Lord to be manifest there, and he had the opportunity to write these letters, and men were able to come unto him, and he was able to speak with them about the Lord, and then maybe he would even send them out to these churches and to take these letters. We read of this Epaphroditus that went to and from. He's sick in this letter, and we may get to that, but we know that he'd went into Colossus, and he was there at one point, and I believe that he was mentioned there and maybe in Philemon as well, but we know that these brethren came to and from. We know that I believe that Timothy and maybe Silas and some of them had come to and from. I believe that that Paul had this ability to be in bonds, but yet these men were able to come unto him, and he had writing stuff that he was able to pen these letters, and he was able to hand this out, whether it be on the scrolls or whatever, but he had this opportunity to speak to these people. We're talking, like we'd mentioned last week, an all-expense-paid trip from Jerusalem all the way up to Rome, and then given the opportunity to preach and teach Jesus Christ unto a household of Caesar, which was the world power at that time of Rome. So you're right in voice reaching distance to the most powerful man in the world at that time, which would have been Caesar. And Paul's getting the opportunity to speak and preach right there amongst all of them. So that's how the furtherance of the gospel would take place. And that it says there in the 13th that in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in other places. And in the 14th, in many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So I believe that waxing confident means depending on, maybe in this context, that the brother now, depending on the Lord, because of my imprisonment, have more courage to speak the word fearlessly. So the brethren in Rome were fired up about God's cause of spreading the gospel, and so it was more effective for Paul to be in bonds and the church spread the gospel more so than just Paul spreading the word on his own. So he was delivered it to a handful, then this handful then would go out into the cities, the highways and the byways, and it was more effective with them doing it than just Paul himself. Any thoughts on any of that? And in the 15th, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. So he's letting us know that some there are doing this for two different reasons. He's not being negative towards one just yet, but he's saying that indeed, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. So So basically one group preached Christ for the wrong reasons and was hoping Paul would find out about it and it would add to his affliction is how I'm taking that. It says, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. So it's like they knew that when Paul knew about this, that it would add to his affliction. It would hurt him where he was at hearing of it being preached this way. Going back to that contention there in the 16th, contention is like this selfish ambition. Some were sharing the gospel with or for the right reasons, but others were for wrong reasons, and whether it may be for money or fame or power, but some did it for the right reasons. Love, the love of God, and the brethren and the lost. And in the 17th, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. So the other group preaches and teaches love, knowing that I am set, meaning put here, placed here, for the defense of the gospel. So Paul's finding the good in his situation. I think we could all learn from that. Seem like when we're down and out, as Brother Marty put it with Elijah this morning, we find some of the most high prophets were feeling like this at times. We see that. I believe Moses hit that point. I believe Elijah hit that point. So it can happen to all of us for sure. But we need to take Paul's advice here and figure out that it ain't about us and quit being all, look at me, and where am I at, and look at the good that may be going on around you at that point in time. Because he says there in the 17th that I am set or I am put here for the defense of the gospel. And in the 18th, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice ye, and will rejoice. So I think what he's saying there, he's still referring to those two methods that he was talking about. Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense, so that pretense is envy and strife maybe, and pretending to preach the gospel, but maybe not, and not the whole counsel. But two is the truth, and means sincerity, correct, motivated motivation of preaching there. So that's the two ways. But at the end of it, he's saying, and I therein do rejoice ye, and will rejoice. So even there was some methods that it wasn't being done right. He was still saying he was rejoicing in what truth that he was able to glean out of it. That's how I'm seeing that. And I know, boy, that'd be tough to say today's time, wouldn't it? There'd be certain people saying, no, boy, you can't go with that. But where Paul was at, he was just happy to get some of the truth being heard out there. In the 19th, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So the salvation there, I believe he's not referring to of his lost soul being saved. He was already saved. He's talking about a deliverance from his bonds there in this prison. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation, me being delivered out of this place through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And in the 20th, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. That's a lot to go on there. Anybody got any thoughts on any of that?
I like that word magnified.
Amen.
But I think when we magnify him, we make him look bigger than somebody else.
Yes.
Kind of like a scope you deer hunt. We
Amen.
The deer was the same size at all. You didn't change
them. Amen.
But you've seen it a lot better. And I think when we go through things, how we conduct ourselves.
Amen.
You know, it's kind of, people would holler about being saved and how good God is and all that stuff when times is good. Boy, when it gets rough, but you still do that, and other people can see that and they think, well, that's the truth. He
yep.
believed that. You know?
Amen.
And I think we make him look bigger.
Amen.
Other people make thoughts on.
Amen. God bless. I appreciate this. That's a fine point there with that magnify. Man, any other thoughts?
The fact that as far as Paul's concerned, he's delivered either way.
Amen. Amen.
His life or his death, either way.
Amen. God bless. Yeah, it ain't going to. Necessarily. I think personally it would benefit him more for him to go on with this affliction that he's referring to quite often and definitely in those bonds. But as long as it's good for the Lord, he's good with it. So on the 20th, maybe breaking that down a little bit, according to my earnest expectation, maybe my honest and sincere expectations, this is what Paul desires. And my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. And my hope is this knowing confidence, not a wish, right? He knows this. This is a knowing confidence. That's my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. So in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness. As always, he wants Christ to be not only seen, but like what Brother Marty said, but magnified. And he wants that done in his body. Because it said, and be magnified in my body. So it to magnify the Lord through the things that what Paul is physically going through. Made and to magnify is making it bigger, like Brother Marty had said, to the eye, but it was already there. You just and it was the same size. Good point, brother. But made bigger there as far as us being able to see it brighter and maybe more clear, more visible to all. Whether by life or death. So Paul is saying no matter which way the verdict comes down from Caesar, to be killed or to be set free, Paul wants God and Jesus to be magnified and glorified. Whichever way that Caesar's decision may be. Remember when he was there in Jerusalem, he had asked that he wanted to be heard of Caesar. And they decided to let him go. And I don't know that the way that was playing up there in Acts, it kind of leads you to believe that they were almost about ready to let him go. But he appealed to Caesar, and then that made their decision easy. They said, you've appealed to Caesar. Ain't nothing we can do. You got to be heard by him. And you're thinking, boy, if Paul would have just hushed, he'd have been out easy. Like what Brother Jeff said last week, Paul had opportunity. He probably could have run out of those bonds that he was in if he wanted to be selfish and just worry about self-preservation. Paul could have got out of there, but Paul was selfless. It was nothing to do about him as long as the Lord was having his way and being magnified. Good to see you, brother. How's Sister Sheila? Bless. Definitely remember her in your prayers. Brother Jeff be trying to stand this morning and be seeing that void over there. Verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That was what we read at the beginning. And that four there, this is an extension of the previous verse. So he's just kind of compounding on it to explain why he felt this way. To me, to live is Christ, and it is to continue to magnify him, to preach his word, to be content in all situations, continue to serve and glorify him. And besides that, Paul's life has no meaning nor purpose. That's how Paul sees it. It has nothing to do. You know, we believe that Paul was a tent maker. We don't hear Paul talk about that very much. We don't see Paul's desire of building modest tents. We don't see Paul's desire of building impressive tents that people would have wanted to have purchased just because Paul made them and him put his little name down there at the bottom of it, or maybe put a certain trademark on it and be known for the world's best tent maker. And relate that to our life, Brother Josh. At one time, I wanted to be the best tool maker in this part of the country, and that's the truth. And now I couldn't give two flips about being known for that. And I think Paul done a real good job of showing us that he doesn't care. It doesn't matter about what he's done, and we don't even see that he was worried about if he left his mark at all on the world for any worldly reasons. But his mark has been left by hundreds of generations because of he desired the Lord. Any other thoughts? So Paul is just as content to die for the magnification of Christ, because to die to him would be gain, he says. Living and serving God is good, but to die would be a finishing of his salvation. And that's not for him to be saved. Again, we hit on that last week, but our completion of our salvation. We already know that we've been saved. I do. Some of the rest of you say that. But we know when we've passed from death unto life because we love the brother. We have fruits that we can show to others. We've got those pillars that we'd stacked up from where we've crossed that river before and made a memorial out of it. But it's complete when we're in heaven. That's whenever it's all complete. Like I said, we kind of compared it to a bus stop. You can say, hey, I've got this ticket and I'm going to Louisville on this bus, but you ain't in Louisville till you're already in Louisville, right? It's bound determined we're going to be there. But the completion of his sanctification to be in heaven with Christ is the finish line. That's when we're completely sanctified. But until then, we're just being molded up until shaping by the Lord. It's not for us to focus or to determine when we die, and we are not to speed up or this end date or to get ahead of the Lord, but without a doubt, it will be gained when we die if we've been saved by the Lord's grace. If you are lost in your sins, I feel confident that you cannot say these words in truth as Paul did. I think when it comes right down to it, some that say that you ask them if they've been saved, well, I've been baptized, and Lord help. But I believe that looking at Paul's example there, can you honestly say that? Can you honestly say to live or to die? To live is Christ and to die is gain. When the rubber meets the road, you know in your heart if you've been saved or not. And no man can tell you those things, can he?
But I still can't get past that 19th and 20th, I guess. I never read it that close before as what you did. It said his earnest expectation and his hope is that he wouldn't be ashamed. And that with boldness that Christ would be magnified in his body. Then he looked back. 19th, it's not because he's been here before, it's not born of experience, he says, because y'all prayed for me, and the Lord's given me of his spirit, he scotched me up, and I'm not going to have to be ashamed here.
Amen.
Love that.
Amen. God bless. Well said. Yeah, and it says the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. A supply, a storehouse full of it, a whole supply.
That's right.
Anyone else? Good stuff, brother. And keep in mind where these Yeah, Paul's pinning this down, but I'm certain, like a lot of us, we ain't going to write it down and not say it at some point. So he's around these folks there in Rome when he's writing this down, and maybe he's even preached it or taught it a few times, and maybe that then goes out of those walls where he's at, and it's just being echoed out into this Gentile area. And honestly, I believe it. People there would have been more susceptible to the word than what they would have been in Jerusalem. I really do. I believe this would have went out, and I believe these men would have spoke this there in the street corners, and I believe people would have heard this, and they'd have been convicted, and they'd have been saved. Paul knows there's a gain for the folks here at Philippi that he's writing to, but I believe there was a gain there in Rome just the same while he's putting this together. So these words would have went out, these statements would have been heard all around Rome, and it would have been very powerful to this Gentile nation. But again, here in Philippi, imagine this letter showing up and it being read out to this congregation that was originally set up on this riverbank, but this being somewhere 10 years after the fact, and I don't know what it looked like over there, but I believe when they got this letter in that area, I believe they would have been joyous. They would have been joyful to have heard these remarks that Paul was scotching them up by. And these words would have went out, and it would have been planted by Paul and watered by these disciples. And then that God would give the increase. And in the 22nd, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Notice how he put that, but if I live in the flesh. There ain't no wondering if he's living. It's just a matter of he's living in the flesh or if he's gone on to be with the Lord. The living has already begun when you've been saved. But if I live in the flesh, if I stay here with you, this is the fruit of my labor. Meaning, either way, he is living either in the flesh or in heaven. A winner either way, as we say. And if I continue to live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, meaning the gain or profit. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. It's not for me to choose, I believe is how he's putting that. Because he says, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. So I don't want anything to do with my choosing. Lord, whichever way you'd have it, that's how I'm going to be content with it. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. As he writes this to the church of churches there in Philippi. In that region. Boy, that's just a selfless man. It really is. He, what an example. To know that we should be able to have that same desire. We should be able to say, Lord, I know things are tough right now. And it really feels like nothing I've done has mattered because look at my position is I'm here in bonds in Rome, so far from where I'd want to be with my brethren in or maybe traveling around to see my brethren. But and he says he's in a strait, he's in a difficult position, he's in a tug of war, he's pulled this way and pulled that away, and having a desire to depart. So he wants to go. And wants to be with Christ, it says, because he knows that's going to be far better than anything he's ever seen or witnessed here on this earth. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Having this confidence, I'm assured, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy and faith. that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Now, I really don't know if Paul believes that he's physically going to be there, or his coming to them again may only be by letter. But I do believe in other places that we read that Paul believes that he was going to be set free from this at some point, and that he would. There was other desires that he was wanting to go and go to these places, and we just don't see that he ever made it physically there. But these letters are definitely being felt. These men that have been sent by Paul, as we had read there in Colossians, that some went there to see how they were doing, and then they were going to report back to Paul. So he had these men that would come and go and bring forth a little good news to the churches, and bring forth a little good news back to Paul, and they would both continue doing this for Christ, but not of theirself, but for Christ. Anything at all? The 26th, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you, it says. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. So that conversation, general course of manners or behavior. So he's saying, let your behavior be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, your business, your actions. It says that I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. So he's giving them there a little instruction along the way. And he's desiring to hear of these things. He's hoping to be there by himself, it seems. There in the 25th, he said, shall abide and continue with you all in furtherance and joy. There, or just before that in the 27th, whether I come and see you or else be absent. So don't know that I'll physically be there, or don't know that I won't be, but I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit. So that's telling them to be united and be with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So when it comes right down to it, we need to be of one mind in that aspect anyway, don't we? The furtherance of the gospel. That's the church's job here. Furtherance of the gospel. You know, we've seen so much of that during our revival. I've tried to kind of go back and understand, you know, what made this so much different than other effort meetings is, you know what, we finally got our priorities where they needed to be. Sometimes we're guilty, so guilty, when it comes to revival season, that the measure of a good revival in a lot of people's mind is how many people got saved. I think that's a byproduct. I really do. I don't want to take anything from that, but when it comes right down to it, our job is to further the gospel. Our job is to magnify the Lord, as Paul has put it. If we will continue to magnify the Lord, as we did, I still look at it as we were all out there and we all just kept looking and magnifying the Lord. We were all back there looking this way and just trying to raise Him up. We wasn't looking back at one another. We wasn't looking down in the pews who all was praying. We were magnifying the Lord, and if they wanted some of it, they were going to have to come and get it. You see, so many times that just maybe we put forth so much effort on the lost that we don't put enough effort and magnification on the Lord, so then it ends up just being a struggle. Now, can the Lord prevail in that? Absolutely, He can. But if we'll understand our priorities and magnify Him first, the byproduct will be those will seek and they will find the Lord and they'll be saved. Any thoughts? We may be at a good place to stop for the morning, and hope we'll be able to continue this. I've really gotten a lot out of this letter so far. And anything to add or anything? Anything to mention at all? If not, we'll just consider ourselves dismissed this morning. Appreciate y'all coming. Appreciate y'all being outside this morning.